All the holy commercials are over now. We could just jump into the Word. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 14. We're going to talk tonight about the concept of going after Christ. Going after Christ, what that means, what that looks like. That's what we're going to be talking about, going after Christ. And so we're going to take this, just see where we land. I'm planning for this to just be one night lesson, but you know how that goes. Sometimes the one night lessons stretch a little bit longer than that, so we'll just see how far we make it tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Here's what the Word says. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled.'" Here's the message he's preaching. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon," who would later be known and who we would know as Peter, "Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after Christ," went after him. We get the picture as we just begin this lesson tonight, the picture of people who are going after Christ, people who hear the call and are willing to follow Jesus into the call that he gives to them. And I want us to understand, and I want us to go on this journey together tonight. And the first thing that I want you to recognize and realize is not all are called to leave jobs, to leave homes, to leave extended family members or things like that. Not everyone is called to do that, but everyone is called to abandon themselves and pursue Jesus with everything that they have. Okay, I want you to grasp that as we move forward. Not everybody is called. The Lord may never call you to move off to another country or to move off from your family that's around you, to leave your jobs or anything like that. But he has called all that will believe in him to abandon themselves and to follow him and to pursue him with everything that they have. So we're going to look at that concept of what does it look like to go after Jesus? What does it look like to pursue Christ? What should that look like in our lives? What is it going to take for us to do that? And what will be the results of pursuing Christ? So let's look at this together, and I'm going to pull out a few things, and we're just going to talk our way through this just a little bit tonight for the next few minutes. So let's jump into this, and the first thing that I want to look at is I want to start at verse 17. That may be an odd place to start because I read more than that to you, but that's where I really want to start because I really want to look at James and John and their response. Now Simon, Peter, and Andrew were called, and they immediately left their boats and followed him. They were out fishing. But there's something about James and John that they were involved with that I want to pull out of this. So let's look at that again. And verse number 19, I'm sorry, when he'd gone a little farther from there, he saw James and John, their sons of Zebedee, their brothers, who were in the boat mending their nets. So we're going to start off right there, because if you're going to go after Christ, if you're going to pursue Christ with everything that you have, if you're going to walk after him the way he desires you to, so that you can live the life that he has for you to live. Do you know, most Christians do not live the life the Lord wants for them to live because they are not completely in pursuit of Christ. they're not willing to go after Christ with everything they have. How many of you know when you set a goal, when you've got a goal in mind, when you've got something that's driving you, you are willing to give up certain things to go after what it is that you want the most, right? Have you ever had, has anybody ever had those things? You've had goals, you've had, you know, maybe it was a relationship. You know, maybe it's your spouse that wasn't your spouse at the time that you saw and you thought, hey, that's the one. You got to go after them, right? There's some perseverance that's involved in that. You might have been shot down the first 7 or 8 times. But if it mattered to you, you're going to pursue and you're going to be willing to give up some things in order to go for that. Whatever the thing that is before you is, you've got to be willing to lay down something in order to pursue it. And it's the same way with Christ, except with Christ, He calls you to lay down your life. To lay down your life. That doesn't mean you won't have a life. It means you surrender your life now to Him so that you can have a better life than you could have ever had without Him. So let's look at this, because the first thing I want to ask you, the question I'm going to ask you is this about going after Christ. You have to answer this question. If you're going to go after Christ, you have to answer this question first. First of all, are you too busy mending your nets to go after Christ? Are you too busy mending your nets to pursue Christ? That's the question you have to ask, because if you're going to go after Christ with everything that's in you, then you have to answer that question. Are you too busy mending your nets? And what do you mean by that, Pastor? There are many things that can get in your way. James and John, the Bible said they were fishermen by trade. They are working for their father or with their father, whichever the case might have been. They are in the boat, and they are doing a very important job if you were a fisherman in that day and the Sea of Galilee. A very important job was to mend the nets. If you didn't mend your nets, you're not going to catch the fish. Okay? Because if the nets are not mended, there are holes in the nets, there are problems with the nets, they're tangled up, they're messed up, and you're not going to be effective at what you're doing. And so they were doing something that was good, they were doing something that was right, they were doing something that was necessary, but if allowed, it would become something that would hinder them from pursuing Christ. So what I want to say to you out of that is this: if you're going to go after Christ with everything that is in you, you have to ask yourself, the things in my life, am I more about mending my nets than going after Christ? Jesus comes along, He sees them mending their nets, and He says to them, come and follow Me. He sees them doing an important work. So, here's what that says to me. The excuse of, well, I would go after Christ with everything that I have, but I've got this I have to do, doesn't work with Jesus. I would pursue Christ with everything in me, but I've got this in front of me, and I got to take care of this first, and I got that doesn't work with Jesus. Amen. He saw them doing the work they're doing that, and that didn't faze Him at all. He called them to lay down their nets and follow Him. The reality is, if you're going to go after Christ and pursue Him, there will be things in your life that you have to let go of. Understand that. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you otherwise, because if I did, I would be lying to you. If you're going to go after Christ, there will be things you have to let go of. And some of those things will seem to be very important. Some of those things will seem to be very necessary. But if Jesus calls you after Him, you have to be willing to lay things down. So are you mending your nets? What does that mean? Well, here's one thing that we do that's mending our nets that hinders us from going after Christ, and that this represents in my mind when it says they were mending their nets. Some people will not go after Christ because they are too busy reflecting on their past. They're mending their nets because there was an issue in their recent past. Amen. You don't mend nets that don't need mended. And nets don't be nets don't need mended. I don't know why that was a tongue twister, but it was for me. Nets don't need mended unless they have been used. So here they are, and they are sitting there mending their nets because they are remembering that in their past, and in this instance it was their recent past, but they are remembering that in my past there was a problem that I've got to fix. Amen. Now, if you'll just walk with me a little bit, if you'll think with me a little bit, beyond just the external, you'll begin to catch what I'm trying to say to you in the spiritual. Look out of the natural and look into the spiritual. Jesus says, come follow me. They're mending their nets. They're looking at their nets, and their nets are a reminder that there was a problem in their past. Problems in your past that you continue to reflect upon will keep you from pursuing Christ today. You have to be willing to lay that down. Spending time on something that is not tied to your destiny will keep you from pursuing Christ. Do you know from the moment Jesus called them to follow him, from that moment, every moment they would have spent mending their nets was wasted time. Amen. Watch this. This is you know, the Bible's an amazing, God is an amazing author. How many would agree with that? And he breathed through his spirit into these holy men of old, what the Bible would say, that they would write these verses down for us and these passages down for us. And when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James and John, and they were in the boat mending their nets. But look at the next verse, verse 20. Look what he says. And immediately he called them, and they left their father. He saw them mending their nets. He saw them looking and reflecting on their past problems. And immediately he said, hey, come follow me. And now with Peter and with Andrew, it says they immediately followed him. It doesn't say that, but it's inferred that they immediately got up, because any moment spent on their past was wasted time now. Can I tell you, any moment you spend living in the problems of your past with the call of Christ to pursue him upon your life is wasted time. You need to lay it down, and you need to lay it down today. I'm not saying don't remember. We all remember our past. Obviously, James and John would remember this story. They would rehearse this story. Peter, most theologians would say that Mark was writing on behalf of Peter as Peter was telling his stories of walking with Christ. So it's not that they forgot these things happened. You never forget your past. Amen? It's not like we get some sort of amnesia all of a sudden and we can't remember. We choose not to live in it. Because every moment spent living in the problems of our past is a wasted moment we could be pursuing Christ. Let me challenge you with something. Every moment that you are offered to spend dwelling on the problems of your past, turn it around and put it towards pursuit of Christ. So when your mind is taking you back, anybody have a mind that will drag them back to their past? Drag them back to problems? Drag them back to difficulties? It causes depression. It causes disappointment. It causes discouragement. It causes us to linger in things that maybe we're not proud of, or we wish we could change, or we could look back on longingly and wish things had turned out differently. Our minds will take us back. But if we will accept the challenge, and every time that's offered to our mind, say, no, you know what? That would be a wasted moment, because I can't dwell in the things of my past. I can't mend my nets and pursue Christ. I have to lay that down, and I have to immediately start following Christ. I have to pursue him in his word. I have to pursue him in praise. I have to pursue him in my walk, in my service. If you will begin to do that, your past will drift away from you, and your destiny will come full force in front of you. The moment James and John laid down their nets, the problems of their past that they were working on, and this is the thing, we think we've got to work on the problems of our past. But the moment they laid that down at the word of Christ and got up and followed him, they began to see things they had never seen. I mean, no, you can sit and work on your past and try to work out the problems of the past, but that won't lead you to your destiny. You still have to move forward to find your destiny. You can resolve some issues in your past. Maybe that's necessary for some people at some times in their life. You have to come to conclusions and resolve and do all of those things. But at some point, if you're going to pursue Christ and if you're going to live in your destiny, you have to move forward. Okay? So here they are, and they make a decision. They hear the word, and they say, we are going to pursue Christ. We're going to go after Christ. We're mending our nets. We're working on the problems of our past, but we're going to lay that down, and we're now going to pursue Jesus. I'm not going to spend time on something that is no longer tied to my destiny. And my destiny now is in Christ. That's a mindset that we have to come to. Amen. I mean, no, that's something you have to train your mind to consider. The mind of Christ has to come in you, and it's not going to be natural for the natural mind. But the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you'll never fully pursue Christ until you have allowed him to transform your way of thinking. So we have to come to grips with this, and we have here's what Colossians says. Paul writes in Colossians 3 and 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. But listen to verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind. How many understand? That's a choice that you have to make. To set your mind. To no longer reflect on the problems of the past. Amen. Let me say this to you. Before you can see what God has for you, you have to set your mind on it. I want you to hear that. Before you can see it, all that God can do, all that God plans, all that Christ will lead you to, before you can see it, you have to set your mind on it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision. So we have to set our mind before... Before you can see it, set your mind on it. Set your mind on things above, not on things below, where Christ is. Get your mindset in order. If we could hear that, I really believe our lives can begin to change. Get your mindset right. Quit working constantly on the problems of your past. Are you mending your nets? Do you know in the Bible we have story after story of people who let go of their past to find their better future? Tamar was mistreated, misused. Her father-in-law misused her. But when she was able to let go of that, there was a boy named Perez that was born out of a terrible situation that would be in the lineage of Christ, that would turn things around, that would be a breakthrough. When you let go of your past, you'll find your breakthrough. When Ruth was able to let go of her past, she could find her Obed. When Bathsheba could let go of the past, she could find her Solomon. So you've got to be willing to lay down the things of your past. You can't live there. You can't dwell there. You can't just keep mending your nets and pursue Christ. Mending your nets is reflecting on your past, trying to work out your past problems. Mending your nets is being focused on your plans for the future. So they're mending their nets. They're working on their past problems. And that could have hindered them from pursuing Christ. But also, they're mending their nets. They could have been so focused on their future plans that they missed God's plan. because they're mending their nets to take them back out and use them. They're not just mending their nets, dwelling on past problems. They've got future plans for these nets. Right? And so if you don't listen when the Lord calls you and you don't give Him everything and pursue Him, you can get so focused on your plans that you'll miss God's purpose. Their plans weren't even bad plans. Their plans were good plans. They were helping their father. They were working together. They were providing a living. But it was their plans. Listen, focusing on your plans means this. You are living only in what you perceive to be necessary, rather than being urgent about living in the moment Christ is giving you. Now listen to that. If you get so focused on your plans, you will live your life only in what you see necessary. The only thing they saw necessary right now was to get these nets fixed. But there was an urgency of a moment that Christ was calling them to follow Him. How many have ever missed things from the Lord because you were focused on things you thought were more necessary? Amen. They could have done, James and John could have done that. They could have fallen into that very same trap. Well, I got to do this. We got to get this ready. We've got plans. We got to go. But they did not fall prey to that. They didn't just keep mending their nets. They were willing to quit working on the problems of their past. And they were willing to lay down their focus that was on their plans for the future. And they were willing to say, Christ, I'm going after You. If you will make that decision, you will live in the urgency of the moment to pursue Christ. We need an urgency to pursue Christ. Doing only what we perceive necessary for our plans will cause us to miss being urgent in our pursuit of Christ. I wish I could get this across the way I want. There they are sitting, mending their nets. In their minds, they're thinking, okay, this was a problem area. Let's fix it because we got to take it back out. We got to go. Our future plans, we've got to do that. And this is necessary. If we're going to catch fish, this is more necessary. And Jesus starts calling them from the bank. And it would have been easy for them to say, this is more necessary. But the Lord's call was urgent. Do you see that? Let's look at it again. Look at verse 19. I'm just wanting you to hear this and contemplate this a little bit. Mark chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James and he saw John, who were in the boat mending their nets. And then verse 20, and immediately he called them. Notice the urgency of the call of Christ against the necessary moment of their plan. What you think is so necessary about your plans can cause you to miss the urgency of pursuing Christ. Amen. I've told you stories about myself before when I was evangelizing. I've told you stories of a man coming up needing help, and I was so focused on what was necessary, and that was me getting early to church, that I was going to bypass the man that needed help. Drove down the road a few minutes, and the Lord challenged my heart and said, turn around and go back and help him. I brought him to you. But the necessary thing to me was not to be helping this guy, but to get early to church because I'm the evangelist. I turned around, went back, and he was still there. I was able to help him because I followed the call of Christ, laid down what I thought was necessary, and you know what? I did all of that, went back, got to church early, and was still the evangelist. Because what I thought was most necessary could have easily caused me to miss the urgency of the moment of pursuing Christ. We do that all the time. What's more necessary? I've got to do it. Maybe the call of Christ is, come spend some time with me. Now. Now. Call to me now. Come and speak with me now. But we've got necessary things we're doing. If we want to pursue Christ with everything, then we have to lay down when we are focused on our plan on the necessary things, because we may miss the urgent moments of pursuing Christ. So they were reflecting on their past, they were focused on their plan, and they were preparing for their future. Their future was laid out in front of them. It was expected of them to do what their father did. Their future was all laid out. They had all the expectations. Everybody knew James and John were going to be fishermen just like Zebedee was. It was laid out for them. They had prepared for that their whole life. They were bound to expectations. If you are bound to other people's expectations of your life, you'll miss pursuing Christ. It wasn't an easy thing for them to do. We read these things so casually. But it was not an easy thing for two young Jewish men to leave their father, to leave their tradition, to leave the expectations of their family, their father's expectations, their family's expectations, to carry on the family business. It wasn't an easy thing. They could have easily been bound to everyone else's expectations and missed what Christ was calling them to. If you're not careful, you'll miss pursuing Christ with everything because you'll be bound to what other people think your life needs to look like. How many know other people are not in charge of what your life looks like? If you're a believer, God's in charge of what your life looks like. I remember my grandpa telling me the story that when he answered the call to preach at a young age, and him and my grandma were getting married, and they were living in New Mexico where my grandmother was born, and he was going to move her to Oklahoma to pastor. This was way back in the day. And said her family told him, "You are crazy. You're going to go out there to Oklahoma." Now, you got to understand, these people were from Roswell, New Mexico. Went over. Some of you will catch that at some point. But they said, "You're going to Oklahoma." They said, "You're going to take our daughter out there. You're going to take her out there. You're going to starve. Your family's going to starve." They had expectations. My grandfather was a plumber at the time and learning that trade. And they said, "You're going to throw all this away." Right? They had expectations for them. They could have been bound to the expectations of everybody else and missed God's call to pursue Christ. Never let other people cause you, their expectations cause you to not step and follow Christ. Even those closest to you will say things to you like, "Well, now you just need to not get carried away." Maybe Zebedee could have said that to James and John. "I'm glad that you found this Jewish rabbi and you're really wanting to follow him. Just don't get carried away. Now just take your short vacation. Sleep on it. Take a couple of days. Walk with him a little bit. And then come on back and let's get going back in this family business." Right? He could have done that. That's what we have people that love us that do that. They see us and they say, "Now don't get carried away with that Christianity stuff. Don't start giving to the kingdom of God like that. You got to be smarter than that. You got to take care of yourself. The people will put their expectations on you. Don't let them do that or else you might miss your pursuit of Christ." They could have been bound to the expected. So are you mending your nets? Are you so busy reflecting on your past problems? Or are you so busy focused on your plan for the future and doing the necessary things right now that you may be missing the urgent moment to come after Christ? Or are you so prepared for your future, bound to the expectations that have been set out before you, that you can't go after Him with everything in your heart? Or will you go after Christ? Look what they did. They left their nets and they went after Him. Listen. What did they do? They left everything. They left everything. What does that mean? Okay, they left everything. That means they left nets. They left their boats. They left their source of income in that case. They left their father. They walked away. But what does that mean to us? Because remember, I said to you from the beginning, God may not call you to leave your job and to move away or to do anything. Most people He's not going to call. But what does that mean to us? Here's what it means. It means when you pursue Christ and you're willing to lay down everything else, you can live a life with no more limits. They left everything so that they would not be limited. They had to give up where they were, what they had, what they planned, what they thought, what they saw, so that the limits could be removed from them. This is what the Lord wants to do for us. If we will pursue Him, He wants to take the limits off of you. As long as you live in the necessary moments that you have determined, as long as you live in others' expectations for your life, as long as you live trying to fix the problems of your past, you will always have limits. You'll be able to go only so far, but no farther. You'll only be able to get so far from your past. You'll only be able to walk so far out of the expectations of other people. You'll only be able to get so far until the necessary things that you've seen in your life drag you back. But when you're willing to lay it down and pursue Christ, He removes the limits off of you. Amen. He removed, look, think about these guys. They left what they knew and they walked into things they had never seen. All their limits were removed. In fact, so much so that people would look at them later on and would listen to them and say, these guys, they were just Galileans. These guys were just normal people. These guys were not educated. These guys, where did they learn these things? Because their limits had been removed. Amen. I wish we could understand that. When we pursue Christ, we're not limiting ourselves. We are becoming unshackled. Unlimited. The opportunities and the possibilities become greater than we could ever understand. But so many people have bought into the lie of the enemy that says, oh, you can't pursue Christ, you can't give everything like that because you got to do this. You got to know that they're putting limits on you. Christ removes the limits from you. He said to these men who all they had known was being fishermen, and He said, I'm going to make you fisher of men. You've limited yourself to being a fisherman fishing after fish, but I'm going to take the limits off you, and you're going to catch far greater things. Amen. So if you want to live a limitless life, you have to pursue Christ. They had to learn to leave everything to follow Him. They learned to be dependent totally upon Jesus. Through the unknown, James would later be martyred. Be killed. John would live to be an old man. Tradition says that he would go through bad things. They'd try to boil him in oil, but he would live on through it. We know they put him on the Isle of Patmos, separated him from people and put him out there. But it was there he was worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day and caught the vision that turned into the book of Revelation. He didn't know these things. They didn't know these things were coming. They didn't know that the one brother would be martyred. The other brother would live to be somewhere close to 100 years old and have impact the world. They didn't know that. It was unknown. But they were dependent upon Jesus through the unknown. They had to hold on to Him through difficulties. Come on now. Are y'all hearing me? If you're going to pursue Christ, here He removes the limits off of your life. And He says, depend on me because I'm going to take you through some unknown things. But I've got great things in store for you. Don't let the unknown keep you from pursuing Christ. Let the unknown cause you to be dependent upon Christ. Some Christians never learn dependency upon Christ completely because they will never step into the unknown. Amen. They'll never step that step of faith. They'll never get out of the boat like Peter did and walk on water. They'll never leave what they know, what they're comfortable with. The unknown will scare them into staying safe. But those that pursue Christ will learn to be dependent on Him through the unknown, through difficulties. And they will receive unspeakable joy, Peter talks about. 1 Peter 4. They were dependent on Christ and they learned to walk by faith alone. They left everything. They were dependent totally upon Jesus, and they learned to walk by faith. And what did that produce? They saw the supernatural, and they experienced the unexpected. All because they pursued Christ. They experienced supernatural things. They saw miracles. They saw demoniacs set free. They saw a man that was in chains. The city people would chain him up out in the wilderness. And he would rip off the chains and just go crazy. And they saw Jesus speak to him and him come to his right mind. They saw the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf ears open and hearing again. They saw the supernatural. Because they learned to walk by faith. You don't see the supernatural until you walk by faith. Amen? This is why pursuing Christ is worth it. Because you'll see the supernatural and you'll experience the unexpected. They heard teaching they had never heard. They lived in a way they had never lived. They received provision they had never received before. You remember when they had been talking to Peter about the paying taxes. And they were saying, your master doesn't pay taxes and all that stuff. Peter got all worked up, said, oh yeah, we do, and shot his mouth up, went to Jesus, said, what are we going to do now? I told him, and we didn't. Jesus just said, go down, get you a fish. He went down and got him a fish, and in the fish's mouth was the coin he needed to pay their taxes. Amen. It was exactly what they would need. Why? Because when you walk by faith, you'll experience the unexpected. That's exactly right. Because you're a part of the kingdom. Walk by faith. So what am I saying to you? What is this? Let me boil this down. Go after Christ. Because it removes the limits off of your life. It'll cause you to be dependent upon Him. And you'll go through the unknown with victory. And you'll learn to walk by faith when you pursue Christ, and you'll see the supernatural, and you will experience the unexpected. There is not one person who has not pursued Christ with everything in their heart that has not seen the supernatural and experienced the unexpected. The Lord even told them, if you leave houses and land and family and jobs and stuff for my sake, you will be blessed here and in eternity. You'll see unexpected things if you'll pursue. What the enemy wants you to do, and often what our flesh wants us to do, is stay safe. Keep mending your nets. James and John, just keep mending your nets. It's safer. It's what's expected. It's worked up to this point. So just hang on right there. You can still follow Jesus. You can still see Him, but just do it in the evenings. or in the daytime, maybe, because they fished in the evening. So just do it on Sundays and Wednesdays. Just don't get overboard. Don't go crazy with this. Stay safe. Mend the nets. We got a job to do. You got to fix some past problems. You got to do all this stuff. And if they would have lived in limits all their life. So many Christians are so limited because they're not pursuing Christ. And they never learn to trust Him through the unknown. So every time something unknown comes, They run back to safety. And they never learn to walk by faith. And therefore, they never see the supernatural. Do you know we read in the Bible of thousands that followed Jesus? Do you know that? You say, how do I know that? Well, I know at one point he fed at least 5,000. Remember the 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And most commentators on Scripture would say in that day they really would only count the men. So they say very easily could have been up over 10,000 people there. We don't know that. The Bible says 5,000. That's what I'll stick with. That's a big enough number. There were thousands that followed Jesus around, but there weren't that many that pursued after him. But the ones that pursued after him changed the world. There was a whole lot of them that would come and see things, but then go about their own way. They would go back to mending their nets. So my challenge to you tonight is this. Go after Christ. He'll remove your limits. He'll lead you through the unknown. He'll teach you to walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, you're pleasing to God, and you see things you've never dreamed of. The unexpected will happen in your life. The supernatural will occur. You can either do that, or you can mend your nets. You can work on your past problems. You can be focused on the necessary things to fulfill your plan, and you can live in everybody else's expectations. I don't know about you, but when I put those two things side by side, the choice becomes clear. I want to pursue Christ. Amen. Each person has to come to that decision. But you and I can go after him tonight. Set your mind on it. Before you can see it, you've got to set your mind on it. I've got a statement that I want to share with you that I wrote down, and I'm going to share with you, and then I'm finished. If I can find it. Before you get there, you have to arrive as the person God called you to be. Before you can get to the place that God's taking you, you have to arrive at being the person God called you to be. Amen. Before you can get to the place he's called you to, you have to arrive at being the person he's called you to be. And that's a person that's in pursuit of him. The challenge is ours to follow. Stand here.